welcome to this week's edition of X-Ray with Dr. Tom Pritchard. Dr. Tom, how you doing this week?
Doing great this week, Paul, and I am looking forward to this match like you wouldn't believe. Again, I talked about two of my favorite tag teams, two of the top tag teams when they were younger and coming up, but these guys are very much seasoned pros, and it's going to be a fun match.
That's right. Last week, Eric Bowman requested that we watch that fun tag team match. This week, Mike Hoop, longtime friend of the show and friend of mine, requested some old school Crockett, Arn Anderson, who I know he is a huge fan of. And Arn, obviously part of the Ad-Free Shows family, wrestling against Dusty Rhodes. To me, as a fan of Jim Crockett Promotions, it doesn't get any better than that. I can't wait.
Yeah, most certainly. Dusty Rhodes was one of the most colorful athletes, whether he was a babyface or a heel. And Arn Anderson was a technical wizard in my book. He knew, again, what to do, when to do it. And that's a huge, huge part of being successful.
Well, we're going to jump into it this week if you're good to go, and we can give folks an idea of where they can find this, if that sounds good.
I'm ready.
All right, so if you are listening via the podcast audio only, you're going to want to go to YouTube and look for NWA World TV Champion Arn Anderson versus Dusty Rhodes. If you type all that out, you will come right to this. The person who uploaded it is NWA WWW, that's the user, and it'll say in the comments that this was taped September 9th, 1986 in Columbia, South Carolina. Once you find that there, that's right, that's where we are. We're in Columbia here at the Township Auditorium. So once you get there, it's 14 minutes and 3 seconds long. Dr. Tom, I'm going to do the countdown, and we're going to hit play together. Does that sound good?
Sounds great.
All right, here we go. Let's do this in 3, 2, 1, play. And we open up here with the good-looking, mustache-wearing Tony Schiavone.
And hold on just a second. Did I just see Earl Hebner walk behind you? There's Earl Hebner in the middle of the ring. You talk about a great guy. You talk about a great referee. And the South, you had was it the Carolinas? You had some of the greatest wrestlers and some of the greatest wrestling action during that time. And it really does make three count in a match. The referee and two guys wrestling each other, that it all works together. And a guy like Earl Hebner is a perfect referee who knows where to be without anybody knowing he's even in the match. So classic Southern wrestling right here.
You talk about classic Southern wrestling. He held up that classic red leather NWA television championship, and for all the belt nerds like me, that's usually one of the top 5 or 10 or so, you know, belts of all time. Love that belt,
no doubt. And they usually put a title like that on someone who could carry a match and they had confidence in, faith in. And if you noticed, right before the match started, Arn pulled on the top rope, and he looked as though he was getting ready to go into a wrestling match. And that's the body language we talk about. Dusty Rhodes, one of the colorful characters in this business, an attraction everywhere he went. He knew how to make somebody a star, and he was a star. Dusty Rhodes was a star who could make someone a star. And that was a key element back in the 80s, especially 1986. It was a totally different business, and all you had to do was sell something like Arn's doing right now.
So just a little background here, Dr. Tom, for those that are kind of wondering what was the story coming in. Dusty had been the two-time television champion. He was stripped of the title for injury. He had an injury problem that had happened. They had taken the title away from him. And Wahoo, McDaniel, and Arn were in the finals of the tournament. Arn would win the tournament, win the TV title. And coming into this match, he had been the television champion for 248 days at this point. So he's been working a little bit with this belt.
Well, that's what they gave the title to him for. They gave him the television championship because he was learning how to be a general in the ring. And the way you learn that is by working with other ring generals. And this is one other element a lot of people don't really pay attention to a lot is Earl Hebner doing those subtle hand gestures as well as saying, hey, get in the ring, come on, and body language without anybody really recognizing or understanding, I guess, how important a referee really is. But Dusty Rhodes, at this point in his career, I believe he might have even been the booker back then. He could have been. I'm not sure.
Definitely involved.
Exactly. Yeah, certainly involved. But Green was involved everywhere he went.
Yeah.
And for his imperfections, all the imperfections he may or may not have had with the body and walking to the ring and people saying, oh, my gosh, how can this guy do anything? Dream knew how to get the most out of every move he did in the ring. And when we say less is more, the Dream as well as Arn Anderson were masters at it. And it's the in-between the moves when Arn went outside the ring and selling his leg and giving everyone a chance to focus and absorb the action that just took place. Instead of just doing the moves, Arn is selling it. Arn is storytelling, and he's in the ring with one of the best storytellers and creative geniuses ever in professional wrestling.
You mentioned Dusty and his persona and his charisma. His body as a kid, as a fan, was secondary to me. It was his charisma and his presence, and that he was such a badass that I fell in love with. It was bigger than life.
Right.
You know, so...
Well, if you notice what Arn did to get Dream down, Earl Hebner was in front of Arn. He went behind and pulled the tights without the referee seeing the infraction of the rule, because Earl Hebner knows where to be. He was in front of the guys, gave Arn an opportunity to pull the tights, come around, ask Arn, hey, what happened? Did you pull his tights? And Arn vehemently denies it. And that's working together in the ring. That's the magic that gets lost and helps people get lost in this match. And with Dream, once again, Earl Hebner is in front of the American Dream. Mm-hmm. All Arn has to do is slip behind and not do it in front of his eyes, because if Arn breaks the rules in front of the referee, I will guarantee Earl's going to break it. And it might happen a little bit later on in this match.
Yeah, a little tug of the hair. Nope, I didn't do it.
And well, actually, it was the tug of the tights. That's what I'm saying.
The second one?
Both were right by the tights. Simple things nobody really does today because they're not thinking about it. They've never seen how it's done properly. But this is textbook being a heel. This is textbook infringing and taking advantage of the babyface. When Arn has the leg like this, he's working it. I like to put my elbow in there inside of the thigh and knowing how to sell it, grabbing the knee, working the knee. And Dream knows when to go down, when to come up, how to sell this, when to reach around and try to get out. But the simple things, the details are what separate Arn Anderson and the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, from the rest of the crop at this time.
Yeah, taking the knee down, pad down, grinding the knee into the joint. It's all about just the impression they're leaving here with you, the fan, as far as the intensity of the moves.
Yeah, it's those little details, pulling that knee pad down. Who would think of that? Well, a classic artist would think of that, a classic worker in the ring. And the American Dream could get sympathy just by doing the little things like this with his hands.
Yes.
And everybody knows the spinning toe is a submission move, but let's get a count. And we talk about selling up in wrestling. This is what Dream's doing. He's not dead. He's not laying there. He's moving. He's not down and out. He's telling that story. Forearms to Arn's knee, And now Arn's coming back to grab the leg. But the Dream, you know, he's got one leg, but he's going to hit you with that bionic elbow. Yeah. He keeps selling the leg.
Selling it, though, yeah.
Yes, yes. And this is, I would have to say it's a lost art, especially the way this guy does it.
And he falls fantastic. Over when he goes to put on the figure four because that leg is bothering him so much.
Yeah, and the simple storytelling details that escape a lot of people today.
Classic Anderson, back to the leg.
Yeah, classic Anderson, classic Dusty. The Four Horsemen were hot at this period. And classic wrestling moves in this match. And that was what Southern wrestling was known for. And a lot of people want to make fun of it and talk about Southern wrestling. But I guarantee you, it was a different mood. It was a different atmosphere. It was a whole different climate and a whole different culture. But you give me a match with guys who go out there and follow the details, pay attention to the details, and you're going to get a different reaction and a different emotion from your crowd.
When you think about the Andersons, though, as a tag team, so Ole and Arn at this period, they were known, their style was pick a body part and destroy it and work on it the entire match. That was their MO.
Well, and of course, that was Ole and Gene Anderson before Arn came in the picture. And the Andersons would work a body part. That was their gimmick, if you will. That we didn't call it a gimmick back then, but or let everybody know that was their gimmick, but that was what they did. That was their MO. And once you educated the fans who yes. watched this style of wrestling, everyone was aware that that was their deal. They would work a body part. And Dream, dropping his knee on the arm and then on through the wooden floor of the gym, and he goes back to selling. You got to keep this in mind. Too many guys are just going out doing the moves. It's the in-between what these guys are doing. They count so much.
Oh, so good, Dr. Tom. You're right, though. He did a move to that using the same knee that's been worked on, and he sold it immediately. Like, hey, I didn't forget about that injury. It's still bothering me.
Yeah.
That's so key.
But that's visual, and people can understand it. And Dream was a great communicator. And so was Double A. So these guys had a feud, had an angle going, and there's Hepner right in the way, but actually he's right where he should have been.
That's right.
So he took a tremendous bump, and everybody could see it. Everybody knows now the referee's down, and Arn's going to take advantage of it.
Here comes the heel with the steel chair, Arn Anderson, into the ring.
Not just trying to win, but he's going to cripple Dream, and Dream knows, nope, that's not going to happen. And so the classic, let's bump the referee, come in, I'll move, and I'm going to use the chair that you're going to use on me. So the American Dream, 1, 2, 3, that was it.
That's it.
The American Dream has everybody cheering because he overcame the odds, even though he used the chair Arn was bringing in.
So Arn brought the chair in, tried to hit him in the knee. Dusty blocks it, moves, gets out of the way, ends up DDTing Arn into that same chair. Ref crawls back in, gets the three. Dusty holds the red belt over. The Midnight Express have now made their way into the ring. We got Johnny Weaver and Bob Cottle here on the sidelines here outside the ring. They're trying to pull Dusty down for an interview. But in classic Jim Crockett television style, all hell has broken loose, if you will.
The commentators back then were a different breed altogether. they were feeling it too.
Oh, yeah.
And they were the into energy. It. You had to have that energy, especially when you're describing something, and you had to feel it in order for the guys to feel it. So, it was a whole program. The commentators, the camera operators, and the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, is your new NWA television champion.
Man, that belt looks so good over his shoulder. Bob Cottle has him now for the first interview with the belt. The crowd is electric, and that's what I loved about these crowds. No matter how big or how small, Southern wrestling, as you called it, you wouldn't find a more dynamic, electric, loud crowd than these crowds, man.
Yeah, and people like to make fun of wrestling fans. People like to make fun of the Southerners, but I would defy anyone to go to a match, especially during this era, where you could not get excited. If you didn't get excited, then you weren't a wrestling fan. These guys went into the ring every single night and felt it. And it was real to them, therefore it was real to the wrestling fans watching. So Dream cut up in passion promo. And if you've never heard the American Dream talk, go back and watch this, but also I would suggest going back and watching a promo like Hard Times.
Yes.
And that's all you have to do is just type in Hard Times or a sit down with Vince McMahon Jr., a young Vince McMahon Jr., talking about how it is being the common man, how it is being the American Dream. And he believed it. He spoke from his heart. And I never, ever have heard Dream speak with any other feelings except that were true to him, especially as he was saying them. And that's talent, being able to say something, believe it, mean it, and then go out and follow through with a wrestling match like Arn and Dream just did.
Dr. Tom, official diagnosis of what we just watched for the last 14 minutes.
Well, we watched two of the greatest professional wrestlers to ever step in the ring. And when people use the word great, greatest, icon, legend, those are some pretty big words to throw around because most of those icons and legends start with Dusty Rhodes, Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan. But in the same breath, you mentioned the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, and AA Arn Anderson, because every time they went in the ring, every time they cut a promo, it was real and it was authentic. And both of these guys were all as authentic as it got, and a great match from Crockett Promotions. I wouldn't expect anything else from either of these guys.
A fantastic watch along here for X-Ray. Mike Hoop, thank you so much for the suggestion. This is good stuff, hearing from all of you. And by the way, Dr. Tom, I had got a request from someone on social media that said, hey, I know you guys typically watch older matches, but I wouldn't mind hearing you break down the Dusty Cody match from Double or Nothing from a couple years ago. So if you're into something like that, maybe we could do that at some point.
Listen, I am into anything that any of our fans, any of our the fans and the friends and people who watch X-Ray.
Yeah.
If you have any ideas, I'm up for anything. That would be great. Dustin's one of my favorite people as well. I have a lot of favorite people, and I have some not so favorite people too. Right. But Dustin and Cody, tremendous athletes. The sons of a son of a plumber, if you will.
That we just watched.
They came from his loins.
That's
yes.
Right.
They came from his loins. So the apples don't fall far from the tree, especially with Dustin and Cody. So, yes, I'd certainly love to watch that.
Sounds good. So, James Coelho, hang in there. We're going to get to that one. We have a few more matches ahead of it. But, Mike Hoop, thank you so much. Great suggestion. And we're coming back around next week's X-Ray with another big-time match. It's Mick Foley and Vader from their classic match that they had. This is going to be a big one. It was suggested by Andrew Hermes. And so I know you and I talked off-air. We're looking forward to covering that one as well next week.
No doubt about it, Paul. I'm looking forward so bad to get back in the swing of things and with the real hardcore wrestling and guys who go out there. And it used to be a struggle. It used to be a fight. And everybody that stepped in the ring believed they were in for a fight. And that's a huge, huge thing whenever you talk about guys like Mick Foley,
yeah,
Big Vader,
yeah,
Bruiser Brody, Ole Anderson, Arn Anderson, the American dream. So I'm looking forward to it, most definitely.
All right, sounds good. Well, that'll be a Halloween Havoc 93 Cactus Jack against Vader. So, Andrew, we're looking forward to that next week. Guys, continue to support Dr. Tom again, Pro Wrestling Tees, as well as over at his school, JPWA. Dr. Tom, they can check out, you mentioned a book that they can purchase on there. Maybe explain a little bit of that to our audience.
First of all, go to jpwrestlingacademy.com. On the front page, you can check out my pro wrestling curriculum. Just click on the link. It has suggestions, ideas, drills for the aspiring pro or the seasoned pro. Just ideas and suggestions that you can use on a daily basis and in the ring. Check it out, jpwrestlingacademy.com.
Learn from the best. He's trained the best in the business. That's Dr. Tom Pritchard. Dr. Tom, we hope you have a great week, and we look forward to getting together again next week for another episode of X-Ray with Dr. Tom Pritchard. Thank you, Dr. Tom.
Thank you, Paul.